just want to share with you from the outline here what you can count on in 2019. And Jill was talking about God's care for us. I saw something in the text, in our gospel text, that really spoke to me. And then I found a quote from Luther, because I was reading Luther's commentary to Romans, and especially in his beginning preface. We're going to have some verses from Romans in the year to come here. And so what you do is you have, and I copied some of the text out, the more relevant parts in the outline there. And you have these two individuals, so you got, and both really, they're very elderly people, and Simeon and Anna. And if you look in verse 26, it says it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. That is the coolest promise in the world. I mean, what if the Lord promised you that you will not die until you see the Lord come out of the skies his second time? That would be really awesome. The Lord's made some promises to me. I pray that he's made them to you as well. And Anna, if you look in verse 38, you know, for her, she had this promise. Well, she actually knew, she recognized that this was the Messiah. And also, if you review back with Simeon, it was the same way. Both of them recognized that it was the Messiah. So this is God just guiding them and moving in their hearts and minds. And so you have two of these Jewish, old, elderly Jewish saints representing the best of the Old Covenant. And the Old Covenant is going away now, and then the new one through Jesus Christ, the fulfillment of everything that they hope for, is coming to be. And what jumps off the page to me, and you can really, I put in the verses down below under God guiding us, is the consolation of Israel. It's in the second line there. I think that's one of the key things. That's one of the things that they were looking for. And there are obviously others in the temple as well. And with Anna, if you look at Anna, there's another expression in that. It talks about the redemption of Jerusalem. So you have people there that want God's consolation, want God's redemption. Both of these two individuals are really very godly-centered people. And I can see from this story of Simeon and Anna that God gave them very personal promises and faithfully guided them. God heard their prayers. And even though they were very elderly and they had to wait on God, it was very, very precious to God to have these people waiting upon Him for His arrival. And God had stirred in their hearts this longing for consolation and for redemption. He stirred this in their hearts. That's why they recognized the Lord. Because God was moving in their hearts in this way. They wanted God's consolation. They wanted God's redemption in their lives. And in that longing, and I think it's a longing that God wants us to have, because we're different than they are. But if we think about this, this is the common denominator between the two covenants. This longing for consolation and this longing for redemption. We're very different from them. We're not the same culture. Most of us are not the same in the same age group or demographic as them. What we do share in common as Christians and as believers, and this is like the idea of faith, that we hope for God's consolation and God's redemption. And I think that's meant to be something that we do every single day. Let me share some Bible verses with you. I'll share, and this is the first one from Hebrews 9:28. It says, "So Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins for many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for Him." And Paul's writing to Timothy, this is right towards the end of Paul's life. He says, "Now there is in store for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day, and not only to me, but to all those who have longed for his appearing." And Peter turns it into a command. He says in 1 Peter 1:13, "Set your hope fully on the grace that is coming to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." So I can see at the first coming of Christ, there were people who were longing for God's consolation. And I think they wanted that every day in their life. They wanted redemption. And they were sharing with all the people around them. And for us, it's the same thing is true. God wants us to long for His consolation and long for His comfort. Now, I don't know how 2018 has been for you. Maybe it's been a great year. But I know for many of us within our church family, it has been a real difficult year. This last week, I ran into one of our members in the hall when we were visiting and talking. And this person told me, "I cannot wait until this year's gone. I don't like this year." And I mean, that is a reality. I mean, this is the world that we live in. And we don't know what 2019 is going to have. Is this how powerful our faith is? This is, and what I'm seeing in this is not just for us. It's not just a pleasant platitudes, or it's not just, you know, a good, positive, feel-good sort of thing. This is what anchored the saints from the very beginning through time up till now, up until the second coming of Christ. And Christ is coming back for those people that on a daily basis receive that, long that, and live in that consolation. This is a powerful, awesome thing. It was fulfilled in Christ, embodied in Christ. This is just so wonderful, because the reality is, when we live in this world, any place where human beings are involved, there is never going to be permanent security. Never permanent security, never permanent hope, never permanent anything. It's just a reality. And you cannot count, I cannot count on this world being perfect in the next year to come. Impossible wherever humans are involved. You know, we can't count on world peace. Pray for world peace. I'd love to see that happen. But, you know, we can't count on it. I was talking with Dave Witherall. Dave Witherall is a financial planner, a financial expert. And we were just visiting and talking about the economy last night. And he's very much in tune with this. We cannot count 100% on the economy. Can't do it. I mean, he said we're in the biggest bull market that has ever existed until right after World War II. I didn't know that. You can't count on these things. You can't count on the politicians, no matter who gets elected. There's no way you can count on them. It's just a reality of what it is. And so one thing that we can count on that will never fail is God's consolation and His redemption. That will never, ever fail. And I thought of the story as I was reading through Luther's commentary on Romans. In the beginning of his commentary, he has some really amazing and powerful words. Now, the thing that really amazes me about Luther's testimony is we know the history, because at Reformation we usually talk about it, and how the lightning strike drove him to make a commitment or like a talk to God, and he was terrified and said he would give his life to God, so he became a monk. So he's a church leader. And he tried everything. He tried merits, he tried works, he tried confession and absolution. Nothing worked to relieve his conscience. And then his superior, Staupitz, assigned him to teach and to study the Bible. So that's what he went off to do. And In the beginning of his commentary to Romans, when he's talking about that, let me share some of the words that he shares. And it just really spoke to me. So I want to share these words to you about the longing that he had and the fruit that it had in his life. So he says, "I greatly longed to understand Paul's epistle to the Romans. And nothing stood in the way but one expression, the justice of God, because I took it to mean that God will be just with me and judge me justly for my sins. My situation was that although an impeccable monk,
I stood before God as a troubled sinner in conscience. I had no confidence that my merit would assuage or appease him. Therefore I did not love a just and angry God, but rather hated and murmured against him. Yet I clung to the dear Paul and had a great yearning to know what he meant. Night and day I pondered until I saw the connection between the justice of God and the statement, "The just shall live by his faith." Then I grasped that the justice of God is that righteousness by which, through grace and sheer mercy, God justifies us through faith. Thereupon I felt myself to be reborn, to have gone through open doors into paradise. By the grace of God, Luther, in this example, didn't give up his longing, didn't give up his desiring. He directed his attention to the one place he hoped to find help. And the word spoke to him. It encouraged him. He said, "I greatly longed to understand." He said, "I had a great yearning." He wanted to know what it meant. He talked about night and day. In other words, I think God was preparing his heart. He was preparing his heart to grow, to be comforted with God's consolation and his redemption by stirring this longing within him. This is what I see the Spirit of God doing in Simeon. I see the Spirit of God doing this in Anna. And it makes sense for you and I then, this morning and every moment of our day, no matter whether we have sinned, whether we feel guilty, whether we feel unworthy, whether it is about Christ. And the power, when that sinks into our hearts and minds, the freedom, the consolation that brings. Consolation, I think, is this. It's really those longings for healing, for restoration, from past losses, from miseries of this life that we've experienced in different ways, that our heart would have consolation, it would have comfort that this world cannot satisfy, this world cannot give. And many times, even when things are good, we will try to find satisfaction in this world, and that doesn't really count. And actually, we end up with the misery of some of those decisions and the difficulties associated with them. God is speaking his consolation to us in Christ. And consolation is really when God comes and he heals, he restores, and he revives. And redemption, you know, that he is able to redeem. He's able to buy back. He's able to bring a different purpose and a different focus. And don't miss the part in this story, I think, that's really powerful. And sometimes we miss this part of it. I don't want us to get all... The point, I think, that God really wants us to see is that the joy of the Lord and his consolation and his redemption would just be so overflowing within us in our daily lives that it would just overflow. And you see with Anna, she's sharing it with everybody. And I'm telling you, it's just a powerful thing when you have a rotten day before, you know, that if you're able to give that to God and you're able to see, God, you've redeemed this day. You can give me another purpose. You can give me another hope. You can give me encouragement. And that longing that God will stir within us is his Holy Spirit working. And that's really, I think, how the faith works. That's how the church works. That's how we can be as a missional community, as we can reach out, because that has touched us from the inside out. That's what drove the apostles out. I think it's a really, really cool thing. I think this is how God works. He's called you into this fellowship and creates this. He stirs this within us. So maybe this past year has been one where God has been frustrating you. Maybe there's been frustrations in the midst of it. And in that, he is stirring this longing. And he's creating this in us. And I was amazed this year, I think more than any other year, it really just kind of gripped me that nothing went right for these poor people at Christmas. I mean, Mary and Joseph, It was the pits. It was really, really hard for them in so many ways. And when I looked at all the different characters in the story, I'm seeing that really the main thing is that God's consolation was there even in the midst of their difficulties and even in the midst of their trials. And there was just a hope that God created, and this was His gift to them. That's really cool. And I pray that God would bless us in that and would encourage us in that. And don't know what this year is going to be, but I can guarantee you will not face it alone. And if God's stirring your heart to draw near to Him, draw near to Him. Just let Him speak His word and His promises in you. And God bless us and strengthen us in this faith. In Jesus' name, amen.